This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. How's it going, everybody? Danny and Dusty, this is a Eugene edition again. The Eugenie Weenie edition of Danny and Dusty, I'm down here. Yep.
Don't do that.
Yep. Yep. No. Yep. Doing it.
Don't like
doing
that.
Doing it. Doing it.
Don't
you
like
have no
that.
You have no choice in the matter,
on.
My friend.
Everybody loves a good weenie.
Mm. All right. Well, how's everybody doing?
Splendiferous.
Boy, it went like it was our summer 6.0.
Yep. And then we went to fall.
Fall.
Immediately. And looking
that
outside,
was aggressive.
Bro, I don't know how it is right now down there.
Yeah.
As I walked in the studio 2 minutes ago, it was absolutely pouring outside. Not like gentle rain. It is absolutely pouring outside.
Yeah. Well, that's not happening here.
Of course, it never rains.
It never rains in Autzen Stadium. No, it's actually not. It was before I got to the stadium. For the YouTube crowd, let's see. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Here's my view. There you go.
Oh, there's
the view of Autzen Stadium for the YouTube party animals that follow along. I'm just stuck over here. I have like this little tiny little studio that they got for me here, but it overlooks Autzen Stadium. It's the old, this is where they used to do the injury reviews. Is this little area? Yeah. Big Ten does it a little bit differently. So I got this little sliver here and my little nook that I'm down here at Autzen Stadium for. It's a horrible day, though. 67. Like anybody that complained about it being hot yesterday, I'm out on you. I'm out. Let's embrace any of the sunny days that we get, all right? Because these low-hanging clouds that are just going to dump rain on us, they're going to be here for like 5 months, guys. All right? We can power through.
We'll see you in May.
No, it's supposed to get nice again. I hear it's supposed to be like 70 next week, and I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. Danny, you were at your mug was on K2 last night.
Indeed. Talking,
you were on the home
Blazers.
Of the Blazers.
Yeah. No,
yeah, they did a little rollout party.
Yeah, man, it was, I'm not going to lie, it was pretty impressive. It has been probably since 2012, 2013 that I've seen a on-site TV contingent. Like, it reminded me of like back in the day. Like, they had the K2 news personalities that were out there, and
cool.
They had like four cameras and four camera operators and booms and jibs and backup generators and technicians on site. It was like, whoa, I haven't seen like an on site like this in a long, long time.
Yeah,
man.
We were all kind of used to the bare bones operations.
Yeah. even before we stripped it down at Comcast. Like, even then, it was like, yeah. we ran lean, and you look around, it wasn't just us. That was just how media had become. Like, a lot of news anchors, like, when you see them doing their stand-ups, their on-sites, it's like maybe two people, like, maybe a technician and a cameraman, yeah. But, like, they're invested, man. I was blown away by the presence that they had there. And it was pretty cool to see.
I think that that is kind of encapsulating, though, of why regional sports networks are going away. Mm-hmm. And why you're seeing this change come back, right? And why we are going to see over the air more and more frequently, because the regional sports networks were stretched so thin by their parent companies that they had to go bare bones operations, and the quality of the product, it showed. And so I think that, and we talked with Dwayne about this yesterday, and I think we've talked about this a lot. The fact that the Blazers have Blazers broadcasting, that never affected and has never affected pregame show, halftime show, postgame show, immediately surrounding the Blazer game, right? Everything else is where the regional sports networks, and like if you go to different markets, if you go to and watch different teams, the pre, halftime, post of a lot of those games are bare bones because mm-hmm. they're run by the RSNs. And so the quality of talent, the quality of production for Blazers broadcasting has always been a notch above a lot of the other franchises around the NBA. We've been really lucky with that.
Yes.
But that's why regional sports networks weren't doing so well, is because people would say,
it costs a lot of money to do all that stuff.
I see what the product is. I don't need to watch this anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's just the reality. So it's very cool to see K2 be that invested. And I hope that that's the attitude that they have going forward. And I hope that's something they continue to do. There was, from the K2 side of things, they, like I said, they had a lot of people there. They had a lot of presence. They are very excited and they are very invested. So I'm anxious to see what they do with the product. I genuinely am. I think it's going to be, I am outwardly optimistic about the product improving going forward. And I think that's a big, big deal for Blazers fans.
Yeah, cool. All right. So it was a good event, huh?
Yeah. No, it was. Like I said,
it's a good event.
The support behind it was pretty massive. So it was cool to see.
Awesome. These are all great things to hear.
You want to hear the stupid part of this?
Sure. Yeah.
So
I was hoping for the stupid part just to be part of your story.
Yes.
Danny, of course I want to hear the stupid part.
So,
yes.
Why else do we have you here?
You're right. So, shout out to my guy.
I want to hear about how you almost got kicked out three different times.
No. So, shout out to my guy, Bobby Corser. I've known Bobby for years.
Bobby's awesome.
Yeah. I grew up two blocks away from him. I actually literally did grow up two blocks away from him in Beaverton. And so, I've known the Corser family forever. And he called during our show yesterday, like, hey, do you want to come do the six? He works at K2. And I'm like, yeah, I'll come. Dusty's coaching, so but I'll come do it. And then I started thinking, oh no, I'm in full radio dirtbag mode,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just in a t-shirt and hat, and I haven't shaved in 2 days probably, and you know it doesn't look great, and I'm just wearing a raggedy, you know, Nike t-shirt, and so I'm like, well, I have time. I can't go home, because it will take me forever and a day to get home and then back here. And then I'm actually driving for like 3 hours, and I'm like, that's not worth it. So
please tell me you did it in Blazers jersey.
No, I went.
You wanted to do it in Blazers jersey.
Well, so one of the Blazers was like, well, the Rip City clothing store is open. And I'm like, I can't do that.
We did talk about that. I was like, I probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't work for the team, so that's a little weird. I had to do that when a kid got ice cream on me last year. Remember, I brought that up. I got ice cream on my wool sweater, and I had to buy a Blazers hoodie.
Yes, a kid got ice cream on you.
Look, man, you know what?
Rust is seeing right through your story.
If I had gotten ice cream on my shoulder in the location that I got it on, it would have been impressive.
That would be impressive, yeah.
It was in an awkward spot.
I'm sure if anybody could figure out a way to do it, it would be you or me.
No, thank you for bringing up ice cream, because I have something after this story that I need. We need a ruling on from in the meringue household.
Ooh, okay.
So I end up going down to the grocery store to getting a razor and some shaving cream. And then I went to Nordstrom praying that they had fat guy size shirts on the rack. And I got some absolute scores of shirts to wear. Then I'm grabbing three shirts because they were all like, I was like, oh my God, these are fat guy friendly. So went and shaved in the bathroom here at work and hung the shirt up and turned the shower on, warmed it up in there a little bit to make sure it was wrinkled out, and that ended up being the fix. I did wear the hat, so the hat. When you come back, I think I'm going to re-debut the hair, because I brushed the hair down yesterday when I got home.
No,
it covers my ears and it is down past my eyebrows now. And I had not checked in quite some time.
Are we gonna get emo Danny?
Oh, buddy, it is spectacularly awful. I was blown away because I when I get out of the shower, I literally brush it back and throw a hat on. Like that is, I just don't even bother with it right now because it's getting to that. It's almost long enough to where it will like flow, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for that day. But to the ice cream, okay. I like ice cream. I like ice cream.
Who doesn't like ice cream?
I like
Lieutenant Dan, yeah, ice cream.
Ice cream. But I have like I'm not a, like a traditional ice cream guy, and I don't eat it all that often. And when I want it, it's like I want something very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Haagen-Dazs has a pineapple coconut ice cream.
I'm out.
That is so good. So good. It's like one of my favorite little treats.
Jeffra's third grade palate.
Yeah,
strikes
there we go.
Again.
I like chocolate.
See, that's not me. I'm not a big
and stuff that chocolate has in it.
In it more chocolate
and maybe some peanut butter.
Yeah, exactly. It's not cheating because it's your dog. I broke Jeff, but. So,
that is so wrong.
Shout out, Road
Trip. You've said that twice this week, and both times my skin has crawled.
Oh, no, Jeff was the other one. He's the one who brought it up.
Yeah. But it's not cheating because it's your dog.
I feel like...
DJ Qualls, the way he delivered that line was so... How you keep your S together in that scene is impossible.
It's so good.
It's even when you know the line's coming, it's got to ruin you. But so
how
I've
many
got
people do you think have actually seen Road Trip though that are listening to this show? They just think you guys are just shooting from the hip here.
Yeah.
Like it's normal. Well, and you know what, Danny, you can't say those types of things living in Newburgh. People are going to believe you.
I know it's tough. It's tough out here, especially when you come with a cheetah skin.
God bless it.
But, so I've gotten this ice cream twice in like the past maybe 4 or 5 months. You know, like the little pint, the little tiny one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I'm going to save that for later. Both times my wife has gotten to it.
Ugh. Yeah.
Last time she ate every last bit of it.
Oh, yeah. That's no good.
So this
that's
time,
divorce material so, right there.
So she told me last night, she goes, I'm sorry. I ate the ice cream. I'm like, did you eat all of it? She's like, no, I left you some this time. And I thought maybe she like, mm-mm, she ate half of it or she ate like maybe a third of it.
I left you like 2 bites.
That's exactly what she did. She left 2 bites. 2 bites in the bottom of that stupid cup.
Oh,
and
man.
I went from like mildly irritated about it to viscerally angry. Yeah. I'm like, why didn't you just eat the whole thing?
Right?
Like, you got my hopes up, but like I would have a serving to eat. And she's like, but there's still, I'm like, no, I would rather you eat the whole bleeping cup than leave me what you left me.
Yeah. Because at some point she got like halfway through, was like, oh, there's still enough here. I can keep going a little bit.
Yeah.
And then she got down there. She was like,
oh no.
Oh no.
And I was like, she gets ready to go to bed. She goes like, she has like the Eeyore, you know, tail between her legs. I'm like, all right, night, babe. I'll be there in a little bit. I'm like, you okay? She's like, I just feel bad. I ate all your ice cream. I'm like, you should. You should.
Feel bad.
I'm like, next time, eat it all.
I'm not letting this one go.
I'm like, eat it all. Because when you told me you left me some, I was like, oh, awesome. Because yesterday was just a long day. Last, you know, 48 hours, just a long couple of days. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to eat ice cream tonight and just, you know, have a nice little treat. And when I opened that freezer, I didn't even have to open the lid. I just felt the weight and the lack of substance in the cup. And I was like, no, 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 no.
Okay, so what is the ruling that you need?
Is it better to just eat the whole damn thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I think we're in agreement,
but
right?
But I will say this, though. As a longtime married man, it's half on you.
For leaving it there for more than a day?
Because you should buy, if you're going to go and... You need to buy two.
Oh, no. She had her own.
You need to go with the, hey, Utah, give me two.
No. She had her own.
Okay. So she ate that one and yours?
So she, she hers.
Rust is opening up a new, Rust is like, whoa.
She ate hers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She ate hers a couple days ago.
This is getting more egregious by the minute.
She ate hers a couple days ago. So I bought this like 3 or 4 days ago.
Okay.
So she ate hers in the time period in between. And so she was like, I want a treat. And
I don't know why I go for pineapple and coconut.
She loves it too. She loves it too. But the one that I got her was like a caramel dolce or whatever.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
But she was like, I wanted something sweet too. And I was like, no, no.
You guys just need to keep more sweet stuff in your house.
Wonders why I hide things.
Now, the first time that this happened, this is like, that's marriage 101, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, that happens. The second time, like, there's got to be, and so did she eat it the same night that you were going to dip into it, or was it there another day?
So, no, like I said, I bought it like 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah, but okay. So like, you got home last night. Did she eat it yesterday?
She ate it last night? Yes.
She ate it yesterday.
Not knowing that, like, I was laser focused.
But it that doesn't matter. After the first one where you are like, whoa, hey, come on now. This becomes a, you've got to replace.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it again,
she's
got to be replaced.
Yeah. I think she thought maybe she could get away with it, that I wouldn't eat it that last night.
No, we have
like,
to.
Like, oh, he's tired. You know, he's probably going to come home, take a nap.
We have to hear, guys. We notice.
Yeah.
We notice.
Yeah. And I was like,
yeah. Got my eyes on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What this just tells me, Danny, is nothing is safe in your home.
So, in fairness to her.
Booby trap it next time.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Yeah. I like where we're going.
Throw some laxatives in it.
Gotta make sure it's a chocolate one.
Yeah. Just be like, oh.
What happened there?
I didn't.
There's a TikTok video of a woman at a work who did this to somebody.
You
and
must
she filmed
be lactose
this woman
intolerant.
Running to the bathroom like 8 different times. She's like,
yeah.
Which technically
just
is
just sitting in her cubicle laughing like Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. But in fairness to my wife, I am known to destroy leftovers.
Okay.
So in my house growing up, and a rule that I invented was, if you have 24 hours on leftovers,
okay.
Once it goes past 24 hours, it is fair game.
I mean, in a rule that I invented.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
So this was like, even growing up, like when in my teenage years, I told my parents, I'm like, look, I'm telling you, this is not my house, and I still made up this rule. My parents were kind of like, you know what, that works out well, because then we don't have to worry about, you know, cooking more, and it's like, we probably won't eat the leftovers anyway, so let him eat that. And so that was a rule that I kind of enforced later in life. It was like, look, if it sits in the fridge for more than 24 hours, it's fair game, mm-hmm. as far as leftovers go. And my wife does not quite operate on that same principle. She's like, sometimes she's like, well, maybe I don't want to take it to work the next day, and I want to have it the next day. And I'm like, that's not how this works. Because otherwise, what happens with leftovers? Dude, think about it. In general, think about leftovers. If they sit in the fridge for more than a day, what happens?
Well, the general rule is you got, what, like 2-3 days?
Wait, hold on. Let this play out for a minute. What does happen, Danny?
You typically just leave it there, and then it goes bad. Like if you don't eat it the next day, most people end up like, I should probably throw this away.
Okay.
So, you know.
Day two is kind of the line of demarcation. Like, after the day two, it's like, okay.
But I hate throwing stuff away.
In principle, though, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you in the grand scheme here.
And that's why I was like, it keeps stuff from, like, building up in the fridge and getting kind of stinky or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know? This is what happens. So
it feels just like no food is safe at your house.
No. It's not.
All right.
It's not.
All right. Well, I think you need to get yourself a nice little freezer that you can tuck away.
You know what? I thought about getting one for the studio, but I'm like, because if I do that and I don't tell her, it becomes a real problem.
Oh, I remember a while back, not too long ago, we got ourselves a nice, good-sized chest freezer for the garage. It was only like $98 bucks Home Depot.
You can find somebody giving them away now. Yeah. It's like, because she thought, hilariously, I was hiding crackers from her one time. In reality, I had just set them down on the bottom of a cabinet in my studio because I didn't have any more space on my desk at that second. And she came into the office later. She's like, are you hiding crackers from me? And I'm like, yeah, I needed to make sure you couldn't find them. Plainly sitting out on top, like not like tucked in behind anything, like sitting front center, like on the bottom shelf in this cupboard, or like a wall unit system that we're the TV's on.
This sounds like kind of just basically at this point now, with all this background info, this is just a battle of wills.
Right?
Yeah, and you guys are both starting to do things to smite each
other. There's lines of demarcation being drawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you guys need to establish some written rules here. It sounds like college roommates is what it sounds like.
You need to start writing your name on it. Put a little post-it on there. Do not eat.
All right, Vancouver Ford text line is hot on this one, and I think we do need to get to some of this feedback. 503-864-6326, your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Danny, I've been married for 10 years now. You're handling this wrong. Run with the guilt. You could get 10 more ice creams, a couple back massages, and so many things I can't say on air. This is the correct answer there.
Yeah.
You need, I mean, you should never worry about your pineapple coconut Haagen-Dazs again. All right. Yeah. I mean, that is that you should never have to worry about that again. I mean, this should be that guilt.
I did drive the guilt home a little bit last night. Normally, I'm not one to do that because it's my wife, but I was like, you know.
You just haven't been married long
enough. Well, look, I would just say this. There was a reinforcing nature behind this that made me want the ice cream more. I may or may not have had an edible and been like, you know, it hit and I didn't have that ice cream. And I settled for yogurt with granola and I was not thrilled about
that's yeah.
It's not the same.
Big difference, Bob.
Big difference, Bob. It did not hit the same spot that I was going for. So I may have been like, I may have been in a state of like, you know what? Good. You should feel guilty.
Get some chips and peanut butter and celery and a case of water. Well,
I feel like this is why
Funyuns.
I feel like this is why you mishandled the situation.
You know what? Like that could be the reason why.
Far more angry had you not been on the moon. All right. Hey, let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Let's do it.
Boy. Today,
it's been a hell of an on-ramp.
Shout out you for bringing up ice cream, because I remember on the drive-in, I was like, I need to remember this, and then I totally forgot.
Danny, You brought up ice cream.
Yes, the ice cream on your shoulder.
Oh, the ice cream on my shoulder. Yes. That's right. Yes. There we go. Shout out me.
Good old Barry Horowitz there.
I love this. All right. Hey, the fearmongers were right. Next on The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, the fearmongering over NIL and college sports is right this time. Matthew Sluka was the starting quarterback for the undefeated UNLV Rebels. 3-0, and look, this team, they are a group of five playoff buster right now in college football. They are a team that many are projecting to be the Mountain West champion, them or Boise State. And they were humming under Barry Odom in his second year down in Las Vegas. But that has come to a screeching halt. Matthew Sluka has left the football program on Tuesday night because of what he is claiming is unfulfilled NIL promises from UNLV. Bum, bum, bum.
We're going to end up talking about this from 18 different angles because of so many things. The cultural top-down impact of NIL, what it means for UNLV as they're trying to sort out what conference they're in, what this means for them right now. Like it's really this story is front and center for a multitude of reasons. The interesting thing to me so far is that looking at you know, who has reported on this story and had different parts of this. You've got Pete Thamel, you've got Nicole Auerbach, you've got Brett McMurphy, Chris Vanini, Ross Dellinger. Literally every single one of these people has had a different piece of this story. And it's very interesting because I think both UNLV and Matthew Sluka and his agent are both trying to get their stories, their narratives, their thoughts, their ideas of how this got to where it is, what happened, what didn't happen. And there's just kind of this race to see who's quote unquote right, where I think there might be a world where both parties are wrong. And it's just it's unraveling fast for both parties very quickly.
Yeah. And look, here's kind of the baseline of what we know right now. Matthew Sluka and his NIL agent, Marcus Cromartie, are saying that offensive coordinator Brennan Marion, who runs, if you don't know anything about Brennan Marion, go Google him. He is a very intriguing offensive mind. He runs an offense called the Go-Go offense that he created. Super smart, bright offensive coordinator. But anyways, they are saying that Brennan Marion is the guy who told Sluka that they would pay him $100,000 to transfer from Holy Cross to UNLV. Mind you, UNLV was in the quarterback market because their quarterback, Jordan Maiva, transferred over to USC after a fantastic year in the Go-Go last year. So the Sluka camp is saying, we were promised $100,000 from Brennan Marion. Barry Odom, the head coach at UNLV, is saying, that means nothing to me because of the fact that I didn't say it. Brennan Marion said it. And this is a gets into the weeds of what the actual rules are for NIL, right? Mm-hmm. Because coaches are the ones that are not supposed to be brokering these deals.
This is the Nick Saban during the draft about Quinion Mitchell and leaving Toledo. Like that's
so it's the, we all know they do.
Yeah. And so that's the first part of I don't know if you saw this. This was from Carl Reed, who was at 24/7 Sports. He had this morning at about 6 a.m. All financial commitments for UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins against KU and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent, and they collectively feel that his market value is increased per source. That sounds like renegotiating. The price of the brick went up mid-contract. And that's you can't do that.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, the deals that have been negotiated by Sluka and the actual collective at UNLV have been fulfilled, right? UNLV's collective paid Sluka $3,000 for an engagement he made over the summer. Apparently, there was a $3,000 per month over the course of the season, which is 4 months. Mind you, that is a far cry from $100,000. Actually, that's only $12,000. That's $88,000 short.
It's pocket change.
That's the crazy part about any of this. Like, UNLV is saying, hey, we looked into it. It was only a verbal contract. Like, it was only a verbal agreement that we made, or somebody made with him, that wasn't the head coach. So Odom is clear of this. UNLV saying, I mean, we never promised him $100,000. Somebody there did, though. But that 24/7 Sports report, that paints a pretty different picture in that players can't just sit there and enter the season and start playing and then say, guess what?
You can't reopen the contract.
The price of the brick went up. Yeah. We're not playing Narcos here. We're playing college football. you can't do this, right? So this is a murky, murky situation. But make no mistake, UNLV, they're in a really tough spot.
And they've released a statement on that, and I think it addresses a ton.
What's that?
Did you see the statement from Vanini?
No.
So UNLV, this was just about 20 minutes ago, they said that football player Matthew Slucko's representative made financial demands upon the university and its collectives in order to continue playing. That again, highlights the price of the brick going up. They also stated that UNLV interpreted these demands as a violation of the pay-for-play rules as well as Nevada state law. We do not engage in such activity, nor does it respond to implied threats. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Don't think you can sit here and do this. Yeah. UNLV has honored all previously agreed upon scholarships from Matthew Slucka. And this is where I will say, if there was a wink, wink, nod, nod deal for $100,000, you should have got it in writing.
Yep. Yep.
Not to screw the kid over, but like.
Well, yes. No. But if there was a, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod deal, then it makes you look like a-holes if you don't follow up on it, too. You can blame the kid all you want, but if it's a wink, wink, nod, nod, you can sure blame the kid for not getting it in writing, or do you want to blame the major university for screwing him over?
All right, here is where it impacts both parties. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. UNLV quarterback Matt Slucka has left the program after three games with UNLV. Now, he's only played three games ever at UNLV. He transferred over from Holy Cross. There's a reason why he left Holy Cross in the first place. It was because his head coach left Holy Cross to take the head job at James Madison when Kurt Cignetti left for the Indiana job, right? So he became available on the market, as it is, and he's saying that he was promised $100,000 by what his dad is saying was Brennan Marion, the offensive coordinator at UNLV. He is not going to get $100,000 from UNLV because in writing, it was, you're only getting $3,000 per month as we have in your NIL deal. There are reports out there that say that after a 3-0 start, after his play, getting the Rebels to a point where they could be a college football playoff crasher, the family hired an agent. The agent tried to leverage the university, and the university said, nah, we're not going to do that. We're good. And so now he's using his red shirt. Remember, you can play in four games in college football now and still be eligible to use your red shirt year. So he is going to use his red shirt year because he only has 1 year of eligibility left. Okay. That's where we're at right now. Both parties in this situation are now toxic.
Yes.
In the 100%. Landscape of college football. Because for Slucka, from Slucka's point of view, he is in a toxic standpoint because you can't be the guy who committed to a team, went and won a starting job, things started going really well for you and your team, and then you bail on them three games into the year because you want to get more money, right? Yeah. Especially a guy who is completing only 43% of his passes. Now, he is a threat with his legs, and he is really exciting when he gets the ball and it takes off and starts running. But it's not like he's completing 70% of his passes.
No, he's not and lighting kid, up. Right?
He's not lighting up the stat sheet through the air. So you have that aspect of it where Slucka is now going to be toxic to other programs because they're going to be like, who wants to deal with this?
You're going to quit on your team over money. And look, you and I think we're both on the same page with this. Like, we're all four kids going out and getting their money.
Yes.
But when you have that contract, you have to kind of abide by it. And if you go out there and you kick ass and you take names, then you reopen it after the season. That's how this works. You and I, we're in this business and we work on contracts. If our ratings spike for 2 years and we've got a 3-year deal, guess what? We've got to wait it out. Like, that's just, that's how contracts work.
But
I think the question is what the contract was.
And there isn't a dispute there. There actually is no dispute there of what the contract, his NIL deal, actually was through the collective, which is how guys get their NIL money. That is not up for debate at this point. And even Sluka's party is saying that his agent, his dad, him, they're not saying that the written contract was not fulfilled. What they are saying, and this is where UNLV is in a toxic standpoint, and they're in a toxic situation, is that now you have the door is open for every single school that you are recruiting against to say, no matter what those coaches tell you, it means nothing. Brennan Marion told him $100,000. That got him to go to UNLV, according to Sluka. At that point, if you are telling a kid one thing and being like, nah, man, we're good for it, and then it doesn't come to fruition, that in the NIL landscape is...
death sentence.
I mean, it's a death sentence for UNLV.
It's also
because now you have coaches that don't aren't even on the same page, because Barry Odom has even come out and said didn't come from the head coach, so it doesn't mean anything. Not going to fly in recruiting.
The other token of this, and I'm not blaming the kid, but if you're promised $100,000 in the NIL and the collective, and they come to you with a contract that says $12,000. Don't you have questions?
Where's the other 88?
Yeah.
Like,
that's a big discrepancy.
And that should happen. If they say, oh, we'll take care of that later, look, it's scummy, but that's business. That's the breaks. That's what you have contracts for. Again, to your point, Dusty, the scumminess, the nature of, like, if that's how this went down, that is a big-time hit for UNLV, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. This is going to impact them because now they're front and center in a national scandal of sorts while they're trying to figure out what their conference home is going to be going forward.
Mm-hmm. And that's not good, Bob.
No. And like, look, is this going to decide anything? No, but you might have some, you know, president or provost of the university is like, yeah, we can't have these guys in here. They're getting in a mess over $100,000, and like UNLV is supposed to have all this money and supposed to be up and coming, and like this is where they're at. Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of perception stuff that goes along with this.
Do you think there is an element though of Sluka comes in? He obviously won the starting job in fall camp because of his transfer. He wasn't there during spring ball, and so they're going to turn to Haj Malik Williams at quarterback, who was their starting quarterback all spring and through the summer. When Sluka won the job, it was in fall camp when he showed up. Do you think there is an element, though, of UNLV going, brother, you're not even completing half your passes? If the price of the brick went up and they're just like, whatever. We have a quarterback that can throw and run, too. We have a guy who can not complete half the passes and still win games for us on his legs.
I was going to say, but has this quarterback also led them to their first 3-0 record since, what I think I saw, 1984?
That would be when Randall Cunningham was the quarterback.
That's a long time.
I mean, honestly.
I didn't know Cunningham went to UNLV. That's crazy.
You didn't?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Randall Cunningham...
UNLV had a 10-year run where they were kicking butt, taking names with some interesting players in basketball and football.
Yeah, Randall may have been gone by then. I don't know, man. I think he was on that roster though. And I think that was like when Kenny Mayne was there too. Yeah, Randall Cunningham was their starting quarterback, threw for nearly 3,000 yards that season, and Kenny Mayne was the backup quarterback and the punter.
Wow.
Hey, Maine.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that? Icky Woods was on that team.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, get right the heck out.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. UNLV had a time period of about 10 years where they had some dudes on the football and basketball fields. Vancouver text line. I think this is a really interesting and pretty accurate take as where we stand right now with the information we have. UNLV has the bigger stick and won this NIL game of chicken.
Yep. Yeah. That is it. And this is where I think having an NIL that is buttoned up and is well funded, this doesn't happen in the SEC or the Big Ten, right? I mean, we think of the guys where we've seen this before, right? The Florida situation, where how's that gone for Florida? Florida is a laughingstock in college mm-hmm. football right now because they promised a quarterback, you know, $8 million.
And they're in litigation over it.
And they said, no, we call takebacks, no counties on this thing. They're a joke in college football. Their coach is about to get fired because of it.
Among many other things.
UNLV, and so UNLV now is in a situation where it's very similar to the Florida situation where we all went, this is not good at all for anybody involved, where it's all to a lesser degree, right? The program is not nearly as prestigious as Florida. The quarterback is not nearly as prestigious. Who was the quarterback? He was at, goodness, didn't he transfer to Arizona State? Right? Isn't that where he went?
Rashada?
Yeah, Jaden Rashada.
Jaden Rashada, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was Jaden Rashada who they went through everything with, and better quarterback, better program, same kind of deal that's going on right now, except for if the report is true that Sluka and his party came up to them after they start 3-0 and said, nope, we want more money. That is the worst fear of everybody that says NIL will be the death of college sports. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly why we need to just call it what it is, because this does fall under pay for play if you're coming back after the fact and saying, oh, by the way, because I've been playing so well, you need to pay me more. This is why we are careening down the path of pay to play in college. And they will be employees. They will be on agreed contracts, so this kind of stuff doesn't happen.
And
again,
there needs to be a clearinghouse for it, because I saw Trill Withers on Twitter. Scott Van Pelt retweeted it, because I think it's pretty accurate. He goes, Trill said NIL's become like a drug deal gone wrong. Because if you get ripped, like if you're in a drug deal and you get ripped off, who are you going to call? You going to call the cops?
No.
And that's the same thing here in the NIL. It's like you're putting it out there. You're airing your dirty laundry, but there's no one to call because there's no clearinghouse for this. There's no league office. There's no one to check the validity of contracts. And I think that's when you talk about the oversight, that's where that kind of needs to come from, is that like there needs to be a clearinghouse, not just for the university and the NIL collectives and having that in line, but there needs to be a central office that these contracts are run through.
No doubt.
Because you're going to cross state lines, not only with where these contracts take place, but like professional athletes who are getting paid, you have to have these contracts so that they are verified for that you to get paid accordingly. Because if you go play a game, if you're in, say, UNLV, and you go play in California, you have different tax codes. You have different things that go along with it. It's like this stuff is, again, it becomes pay for play. It becomes employees. That's where we're going with this. And it has to be in a centralized location where everybody is operating under the same guidance and rules.
Oh, by the way, UNLV plays Fresno State, which is 3-1. Their lone loss to open the season was in the Big House to Michigan.
Yeah.
This is actually a big game for UNLV. And then you look down their schedule and what's in front of them. This is a team that has knocked off two Big 12 teams in Houston and Kansas. They are kind of the team that everybody's hot on to take a group of five playoff spot. And coming up down their schedule, after Fresno, they have Syracuse. And then they have Utah State. And then they have Oregon State, Boise State. So look at that. Four of their next five games, pretty damn important for UNLV, and their quarterback just bolts.
Yeah, they're in a great spot right now.
Golly.
In a great spot right now.
All right, go vote on our polls. We got two polls up. We'll get to some of the feedback on the polls and from you on the Vancouver Ford text line next. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan. Up and down their spine, just a sexy Wrestling Wednesday. You know it's Wrestling Wednesday when we got the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, baby. All right, we're talking about Matthew Sluka. UNLV quarterback has walked away because he says they didn't live up to their NIL promises that they made me. UNLV is not denying that promises weren't made, but they're saying, wasn't in writing, brother. And so now we have the biggest fear in college football has come to fruition, which is NIL is going to lead to players leaving mid-season. And look, both parties can be wrong in this, but at the same token, I don't think that this is the norm. This is going to be an outlier that we will see until they are actually employees of the schools and paid.
Well, and I think the schools will use this as kind of a learning tool, too, to be like, look, we need to buckle some things up here.
Yeah, and we're seeing two teams getting in one offseason. Getting caught up in it in Florida and UNLV with Jane Rashada at Florida and now UNLV on a far smaller scale with Matthew Sluka. Your feedback on this, the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. This text says we're like 10 to 15 years away from the NFL running college football and like 5 years away from NFL playing on Saturdays because college football is a pro league now that won't get protection from the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961. I don't think we're going to get to that point.
Yeah.
Because the NFL doesn't want to put money into college football because they have a free developmental program right now. And it's not just developmental for athletes to get from college to the NFL. It is developmental in they get schemes. The proliferation of the RPO into the NFL game, that's been great for the National Football League. A lot of the trickle up starts at like the high school levels and works its way into college and then works in its way into the National Football League. Look no further than the zone read, right? Which that started in high school as like an offshoot of, you know, a wing T, and then it trickled up into college. And then we saw some zone read in the National Football League. RPOs, same way. I don't see the world of the NFL saying, yeah, we're gonna get in on this. But it will change dramatically moving forward. This does seem very similar, as this texture points out on the Vancouver Ford text. I'm looking forward to the UNLV versus QB Judge Judy episode. I mean, if Mills Lane was still alive, RIP Mills Lane. Mm-hmm. If Mills Lane was still alive, this would be perfect for him. He was a Vegas guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Well, and even Judge Judy, she'd be saying, don't pee on my shoes and tell me it's raining.
Mm-hmm. And you know who'd be right behind him in this one?
Who that?
Jim and Jack Harbaugh. Remember when they were on an episode of Judge Judy?
I forgot that.
It's Jack Harbaugh, Jim and John's dad. It's his favorite show. It was Judge Judy.
Of course.
So you know that they would have been like, oh, yeah, I need to see how this one plays out. Huh?
Exactly.
We gotta watch this because this is a football episode of Judge Judy.
Right. Very special episode.
Yeah.
That's funny, too. Brett McMurphy says, this UNLV situation would never happen at an SEC school. The SEC bagmen deliver every single time.
Yeah, they would have figured out a way to get this thing done
before anybody heard about it.
On the periphery.
Yeah.
I think Brett McMurphy may have been wrong about Gonzaga this week. I think he's right about that one.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
We're going to see that one there.
SEC, it never would have gotten to this point. We never would have heard about it.
Yep. Another texter says, you know, it seems professional athletes don't fulfill their contracts all the time.
Yeah. Coaches, too.
They hold out if they want more money. They will. I mean, we're seeing it with Hassan Reddick in New York right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, they do. But at the same token, those are written contracts.
Yeah.
This one is such in a such weird area.
That gray area.
Because it was a verbal agreement between the offensive coordinator, Brennan Marion,
mm-hmm.
and the quarterback transferring in.
See, and that's the thing, too, if the head coach doesn't know what his OC is out there promising, that's a program issue.
Yeah.
You know? That does not make UNLV look good.
Yeah, here's P1 B-Rod is in. I'm not surprised that head coaches aren't fully aware of NIL deals. I was watching Julian Edelman's show, and Bill O'Brien was on as the head coach. He's at Boston College now. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that there's a team responsible for handling NIL deals, payments, and everything related. O'Brien said he doesn't manage or even know all the specifics of the deals, but UNLV coach should look into what his coaches are promising. No doubt about it. And this is the thing. I love Brennan Marion. I love his offense. I think he's a great young coach, and he is really young. But he misstepped. And although there are teams that handle NIL all the time for every program. Every head coach knows what his guys are getting.
Right.
And that is 100%. They should know, and they do know. Yeah. They do know.
Unless you're Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. That's what we were just talking about.
Yeah. All right. Hour number one is in the books. Let's get to hour number two. All right. We got some basketball news that we need to get to. There's a lot of baseball stuff, but
historical event even.
There was something that happened yesterday that, because of all the local news, we didn't even get to this, and there's even more fallout coming from it today. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.